Please join me in the call to worship. The Magi had a dream. They dreamed of a Messiah. They dreamed of just rulers. They dreamed of a new day for all people. The Magi had a dream, and this dream led them to action. They journeyed to unknown places. They followed a star. They walked for days to get to Jesus. So may we be like the Magi. May our dreams inspire action. May we worship the one true God. I invite you now to stand as you are able and join in singing hymn number 66, We Three Kings of Orient Are.
Thank you.
You may be seated. In the Christmas story, the Magi go looking for God, actively and consistently, day by day. They follow the star until it guides them to Jesus. In the prayer of confession, we acknowledge that more often than we would like to admit, we find ourselves following the wrong star. Fortunately for us, God is the map maker, and God's map is measured in grace. So we have nothing to fear. Let us seek God as we pray together the prayer of confession. God, we love to worship you when the stars are bright above us. We love to worship you when the sky is clear and the breeze just right. We love to worship you when the journey to Bethlehem is an easy one. Unfortunately, as you know, this journey of life, love, and faith is rarely easy. Now and again, the stars disappear, our feet get blisters, and the journey is far too long and lonely. On those days, forgive us for giving up quickly. Forgive us for allowing the dream to die and for taking the shortcut home. We want to be as brave as the Magi. We want to persevere. Guide our feet. Show us the stars. Amen. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. Since the very first day, God has taken the pieces of our hearts that we have offered up, and he has said, I can work with that. Even in our failings, God has washed us with words of grace, belonging, and love. No matter what star you've followed, no matter how far you've walked, no matter how lost you got, you belong to God. God loves you. God forgives you. God claims you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Christ be with you and also with you. Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby. Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro on this first Sunday of the new year and on Epiphany Sunday. We are glad to have you all with us this morning. We ask that you take a moment to please fill out the pad that you will find somewhere in the pew to register your attendance with us. If you're here every Sunday and we have all your information, please simply just put your name so we know you are here. If you are joining us recently, we'd love to have your contact information so we can be in touch with you. And there's places for you to add that information on the notepad there. After worship, we invite everybody to join us through these doors in our fellowship hall for coffee fellowship. And this morning we have donuts. So come and enjoy some fellowship, some food, and some coffee, tea, or juice. This week, believe it or not, we are having our first heart-to-heart of 2025. So all women, you are invited to join us on Thursday, January 9th. We will be in the fireside room from 12:30 to 2:30.
All women are welcome. If you haven't attended in the past, I would love to talk to you about that opportunity. We'd love to have you join us. We share a light lunch together and a study. This month, we will be looking at women of valor, Deborah and Jael. And I learned about Jael in seminary, and I have always wanted to teach on her, and this is my first opportunity. So I'm excited. So it should be fun. We'd love to have you join us. Also coming up on Saturday, January 11th, we have a session retreat here at the church for all elected elders serving on session. And then next Thursday on January 19th, we have our January Young at Heart luncheon featuring a program of Sit and Fit with Kathy Schmidt. So we invite you to come, enjoy a wonderful meal, and then remain right in your seat and work off what you just ate by doing a little seated exercise. So what a great way to start the new year. And now Pastor Renee has returned and has an announcement for us regarding the PNC.
Yeah, so happy 2025. I hope you all had a good holiday time. As you can tell from my arm, I am out of the sling. I have a brace. Richard Jackson and I are now matching, and so we have a set. But great news on the PNC. The Committee on Ministry of our Presbytery approved the form that the PNC has created that advertises the position of pastor. And so we are now up in the great cloud, the website in the sky. And literally within hours of that posting, the PNC began receiving applications. I know. Cool, right? Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the one piece I want. So go up, say, great job, PNC. Now the hard work begins. But one thing I want to let you know is you can all take a look at the advertisement. That's great. But now they have to get super secret. Okay, they cannot talk about candidates that may or may not have applied for the position, all right? Because we are a very small Presbyterian church, and some of the best candidates that might come want to apply for this already have jobs, and they don't want to tell their churches they're looking, right? Can you imagine how hard that would be if all of a sudden word got out? So please respect the fact that the PNC is going to be in secret mode. They can give us some process updates. Oh, we read this many applications, blah, blah, blah. They can tell us that stuff. But as far as the other level of stuff, we're just all going to have to sit back and pray. All right? Are you with me on that? Can we pray for the PNC on this? All right. That's great. So congrats, PNC, and we are I'll hold you in prayer over the coming months. So I would now invite Melissa Seaton to come forward for our scripture reading.
Prayer of Illumination. God of the Milky Way, we, like the Magi, are walking toward you. One foot in front of the other, we are walking toward you. It is our very prayer to move your way. So if you can, leave the light on and the front door unlocked. Leave a fire in the hearth and food on the stove. And when we start to get lost or doubt our dreams, give us the will to persevere. We are walking toward you, O God. So like the parent that throws open the door to us through this text. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 1155. Let us hear the word of God. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camel will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to our understanding.
Our second scripture today is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This is a traditional text for this day of Epiphany. Epiphany, the word, actually means manifestation, something that is seen. And in the gospel text, the Magi see a star, and that begins a long journey. And listen now for how God works through outsiders to show the news about the new king and to protect him. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, They returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Stars in our tradition are the portent of something big, something important. In the Old Testament, stars were the designation of kings, and so if one saw a star or prophesied that a star was to come, one had to be careful about who you talked to about it. Moses was one such person about whom a star was prophesied, and it wasn't a pretty picture to see how the king who heard about it reacted. The seekers of stars in the ancient Eastern realm were often called magi, what we often translate as wise men in our Bibles. Magi could be either magicians or charlatans, but more often they were the scholars of their era, seekers of knowledge on earth as well as in the heavens. To be a star seeker was to have been trained and been vetted in the traditions of your people so that you would be able to see things that others couldn't. Perhaps a bit like Galileo, who lived much later in the Renaissance period, who saw things in the sky with his new invention of the telescope. It was powerful beyond imagining to see what others had not. And just with other star seekers, Galileo learned that news from the stars, that the Earth was not the center of the solar system, was not always welcome news. Our star seekers in the story see a star rising, and they know what that means. There is a new king in the world. And then they make a decision. They go from being star seekers to star trekkers. This is a crucial move, isn't it? How many of us know what we need to do? We can see it coming and fail to do it. You know, I once saw an article written by a professional organizational consultant, and when she was asked, how long will it take to get organized, she simply responded, as quickly as you can make decisions. For piles of anything are just postponed decisions. Ouch, that hurts. So the Magi, they don't sit on their information. They do something with it, and that is often the difference between those who fulfill God's dreams for their lives and those who have regrets at the end of the day. So they set out on a journey of undetermined length and time, entering a place and a culture that is not their own. A couple of intriguing aspects to this story and this journey. First, that the Magi get it wrong the first time. They don't end up right at Jesus' house, do they? No, they head first to the obvious place. They head to the palace in Jerusalem. And so if you're going to find a king, it seems decided that the best place to look for a new king is where there's a current one already in residence. Now the trouble is, in this case, Herod has a convenient way of killing those who might become rivals to the throne. Even his own family members, history tells us. The Magi were very close, though. They were only 9 miles away from Bethlehem, and it seems as though they ended up in the wrong place. And second intriguing aspect is when they get to Herod, it's clear that they know what's happened, and the palace insiders are startled and disturbed by the message of the Magi. The tables have turned. It's not the scholars of Jerusalem who know what's happening. It's these outsiders who have come from afar, who have seen the star, an image from both their tradition as well as the Jews. Going to Herod, the Magi must have known, was a risky proposition. I imagine Herod's reputation was well known. He had the self-aggrandizing decision to build this massive temple compound, which at this point in the story is only midway through construction, and yet they go ahead to one who had the access to the information that they needed. For Herod had his own team of scholars get on the case too. And so a scholarly debate ensues in the story, and the public declaration of where the child might be found is made. And so Herod, worried about his kingship, tries, to his mind anyway, a sneaky plot by calling the Magi secretly to say, you know, come on back. I'll just go and be able to worship the child too when you find him. Nobody believes that, right? So Herod behaves a lot like the Pharaoh does in the story about Moses' birth. Not too bright, the result of probably 2 minute generations of trying to outthwart enemies. Maybe Herod thinks he's dealing with people too naive to know what he's up to, because he asks them to return. He doesn't send spies with them, though, or even make them register with ICE or give out their travel itinerary so that they can be found if they change their minds. Somehow he thinks he's got enough pull with folks that know him way more than he knows them. Being a star seeker today requires that same curiosity and perseverance, that same interest in what is happening around one, that same pluckiness and tenacity and of risk to grow. To be a star seeker means to have your training and knowledge ready for your life to grow, both as an individual and as part of the communities to which you belong. This is a time when a lot of us set goals, and I wonder as we do whether we could for ourselves take some time to hone our star-seeking capabilities. Are we honestly developing the passion for our spiritual lives that will allow us to grow? Are we setting aside the time and the space that will allow us to have those epiphany moments which might transform our lives? Rachel Naomi Remen, a physician who also wrote books, tells of a story when, as a teenager, she volunteered in a nursing home as a companion. One day, a nurse told her to go into the room of a woman who had senile dementia, who hadn't spoken in an entire year, to string beads with her for an hour. Rachel sat down in the other chair and tried to think of how to open the conversations. But none of the trained responses she had been given seemed appropriate to the situation. So she sat the entire hour with the woman in silence. It was peaceful. When the time came for her to leave, she stood up but then turned impulsively to the woman and said, "What do you see?" After a pause, the woman responded, "Well, child, I am waiting to see the light." So I invite us all to find the time to see the light, to find the place where God might be intervening in our lives, epiphany moments that we might find change everything. The Magi bring gifts, and the gifts that they brought, it's clear that from the story, the Magi bring gifts that are connected to his identity: gold for kings, frankincense for deities, myrrh for anointing the dead. But more broadly than this, the gifts were not simply for identity's sake. Taking the story into the next passage in chapter 2, one can imagine the gifts that were costly but easily transportable came in handy for the trip to Egypt as well. The gifts of the journey led to a resistance journey that will save the baby Jesus. Now, in star trekking, it's my experience that once one has completed this kind of journey, you inevitably go home by another road, because the journey has changed you in fundamental ways. Roman Catholic Father Richard Ward puts it this way. He says, "An epiphany is not an experience that we can create from within, but only one that we can be open to and receive from another. Epiphanies leave us totally out of control, and they always demand that we change." So at the end of such journeys, you can't look life at the same way. You find yourself in the world differently because new things have happened, and almost without you even noticing. The Magi return home by another way, both to avoid and resist Herod. They may have gained knowledge to know his program, his power plays, and they have decided, we're not playing. They are on the side of the new king. You know, I was thinking about this in the context of mission trips that we often send youth on to work in other places. You know, the money that we spend on these visits, on these trips, is a lot. And frankly, if the only goal were to complete the projects that were listed to the parents, then we could do them far more cheaply, accomplish it far more cheaply, by sending the money and having local folks get paid to do the work. And there are some who advocate for that. But I don't think that's the whole story of a mission project, because we are expecting to be transformed by the experience as much as those whom we served. You know, we think we are the subjects of, we think we are the ones giving the charity. We are the ones making a transformation in people's lives. But we are also the objects in these mission studies. We, the wealthier, whiter, more educated folks, we too are in need of the transformation, just as the ones receiving our ministries. And I hear from people who went on such trips in key moments in their lives that they did change how they saw the world. So as we begin 2025, I wonder, where are we? Are we in our star-seeking mode? Are we looking to up in the sky, hoping to see a star? Are we on a star trek? Have you made that decision to set out on a journey? Have unexpected strangers come to your door asking directions for a new key? And so, are you sitting in the beam of a bright light of God's? Or have you come home, figured out what it might mean for your life, knowing it might never be the same? Amen. So today, as has been the custom for a couple of years at least here now at First Presbyterian, we're going to invite you to come forward and to take a star word. Now, these star words are meant to be invitations. They're meant to be an invitation to ponder and think about a lens by which you might look at this coming year. It could be a little touchstone for you during the year to think about how your life either exhibits what's going on in this, or how you might be invited to go on a journey to embrace it. To do that, we're going to ask ushers to come forward. So I'd ask our two ushers. So we have two baskets of star words here. And you can come up if you want to look a little bit at the word. That's, you know, pick a particular word. That's fine. You might just want to pick a random word. So we have two stations here. Lou also has a small basket of words. And so if you're in these sections, the ushers will invite you to come up by row so we don't get too many people in the aisle and hit gridlock. Those of you over in the chapel are invited to come forward for this, but Lou is also going to come by. And if you cannot come forward, Lou will come by and make sure that you receive a star word. In your bulletin, there's an insert there that invites you to do some reflecting after you've picked your word later today. Let us begin.
All that we have comes from God, even the gift of life itself. The offering of our gifts back to God is one way we live out our faith. As unique, individual children of God, each of us gives in our own way, through our time, our talent, our treasure, as we can afford. There is no one right way to respond to God's grace in our lives. Our financial offerings happen in a variety of ways, too. They may be placed in the box in the narthex, mailed to the church, or even transferred from our bank accounts. Whether it is $1 or much more, each offering is faith in action. So let us now ask God's blessing on the gifts that we are returning to Him. God of redemption and new life, today we focus once more on those who went a great distance to seek a new King, Jesus, our Savior. As they journeyed toward Jerusalem, they met those not like themselves, and they sought the baby in an unlikely place and gave traditional gifts. As we leave 1 year behind and look with hope to the new year ahead, help us to live and to give of ourselves as those who know every day what a great gift we have been given. May it move us to give our whole selves more freely. In the name of Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Seated. Have you ever remembered a moment when you saw just a star-filled sky? Maybe up on a mountain or out in the desert or in a lonely place where the sky seemed to just have been lit. Well, you know, one moment it seems like it's a normal night, and then the next minute there's this holy moment there. And that holy kind of moment is what Jesus invites us here today to experience with this table. One minute we're moving through our day-to-day lives, and the next minute we're invited to come into communion with God. Where else in the world do we get to do this all together in one room? So today, you are invited to come to this table. You're not invited because what you have done or not done. You're not invited because you're a good Christian or a good person. You are invited simply because you belong to God. And that is enough. So come to this table. Come with your questions and your doubts and your fears. Come with your hope and your awe and your love for the world. Come with all of you, authentically and honestly. For God is undoubtedly at this table, and God is inviting you. Let us pray. God of starlight, there's always been something holy about stars for us. We wish on them. We look for them. We celebrate when we see them streaking across the sky on summer nights. We map out their designs and consider glimpses of the Milky Way, holy enough for bare feet. There has always been something holy about stars. We know that. You know that. The Magi must have known that. So today we come to you in prayer, trusting that if you can paint the stars in the skies, then you can surely hear us over the noise. We invite your spirit to be with us at this table, in this bread and in this cup. For like the Magi, we are seeking you. Like the Magi, we are looking up. Like the Magi, we just need a sign. Guide our feet. Show up in the mundane and the extraordinary. Be in the stars, in the sky, and in our everyday lives. We are hopeful, O God. We are hopeful. And so, holy God, you were the God of yesterday, and we know that you'll be the God of tomorrow. For you have loved us and give us dreams for your world. With grateful hearts, we say in compass purpose that creed that the church has declared for generations that we call the Apostles' Creed. Let us say together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It was on the night of his arrest that Jesus was gathered in an upper room with his disciples, and he took the bread. And he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and he poured it out, and he said, this cup is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth signs of God's realm, which is just around the corner. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Will our servers please come forward? friends, the body of Christ broken for you. Let us pray. God of ink-black skies and starry nights, like the Magi so many years ago, we are here seeking you. Step by step, we've wandered into this place with a hope of feeling you in our midst. And step by step, you have calmed us, loved us, and fed us. Today, we've taken the bread and the cup and have drawn star words. You have fed us in body and spirit. For some of us, these words are full of meaning, challenge, and invitation already. For others, these words are a blank canvas inviting you into our lives. So as a new year dawns, we pray that you would be in our dreams and in our waking. Allow us to use these star words as a tool to see you in our everyday life. May they guide us as the star guided the Magi. May they illuminate your path as light always does. In a year, may we find ourselves here again, together again, with a mouth full of praise for the ways you have been present to us. With hearts full to the brim, together we pray. Amen. And friends, I now invite you to stand and sing together the Lord's Prayer. Pew cards are found with the hymn on it. you now to turn to hymn number 68, What Star Is This With Beams So Bright? Go with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth, and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.